if we can get onto a good start, Gyuris Vashvua Vashifo Shinitu Vishnisgaira Vishnishtakuru Pahusas and Bosh with no Sholim Shoni. We are speaking here about the statuses of three different categories of women. The first one is the Gyuris, the converted woman. And the second one is a Shvuyo, that is a Jewish woman that has been captured. She's been in captivity. She was kidnapped and she was kept in captivity for a ransom. And the third one is the Shifcho. The Shifcho is the Canaanite woman who became a slave of a Jew, not a Jewish slave is something else, who became a slave of a Jew, or a Canaanite woman who was born of parents who were Canaanite slaves to Jews. Okay. Now those are the three women. The first thing you've got to understand about those three women in order to understand the Mishnah is that these three women, when they present themselves for marriage, they are becheskes beulos and not becheskes besulos. We do not regard them as besulos, we regard them as beulos. Any woman, any Gentile woman, is not regarded as a besulo. Any Jewish woman who has been in captivity is not regarded as a besulo. A shivcho is not regarded as a besulo. They haven't got a chazoka of a besulo. We work on the assumption that they are not besulos. Clear? Yes?
Two questions. One is, in this text, I'm troubled by the order, because we have the order Giora Shvuya Shivcha. Now the order of the verb should be Nitgayra. Okay. Second question. So a Jewish woman who is a Shivuya, couldn't she be in the, we know that an Anusa is not, when you discover that an Anusa is not considered, is she considered a Bu'ula?
And Anusa is considered a Bu'ula.
But then we have the whole question about...
It's the question of only Bosaim and Mono.
Oh, okay.
It's the question about the Kesuba. Mm-hmm. Does she get the Roch? Does he write in the Kesuba 200 or 100?
Oh, mm-hmm.
So if she is a Shvuyo, this girl was a Shvuyo.
Mm-hmm.
We know she was a Shvuyo. And now she gets married. The Rav writes into the Kesuba, he writes 100 and not 200. If she was a Gyuris, the Rav writes into the Kesuba 100 and not 200. And if she was a Shivcho that became Jewish, she, which I shall deal with, he writes into the Kesuba 100 and not 200. They have got a Chazoko that they are not... Is that Milton? Good, fine. Yes, I had reason to believe it wasn't you, but still.
Sorry to be asking so many questions.
Yes.
It's trouble. We know that for an Eved Ivri, there's a totally different deen, right?
Yes.
This is, we imply, you say the implication here of Shifcha is an Eved Kanani.
Yes,
now, is the, what would be then the feminine word used for the feminine Eved Ivri?
Omo Ivriyo.
Ama.
Omo Ivriyo. This is Shivcho Knanis. And
we never say Shivcho Ivriyo.
There's a technical term.
Okay.
Shivcho Knanis and Omo or Ivriyo. Yes, Bob.
I'm so very glad we're doing this again, because through the entire Shilatam, I thought a Shvuya was a non Jewish woman that was captured in warfare.
No.
So that.
It's a Jewish woman. It's a Jewish woman. A Shvuyo is a Jewish woman who was taken into captivity. As soon as she's taken, a girl, a 14-year-old girl, 15-year-old girl, she's taken to captivity. She hasn't got a chazoka of a besula. She's got a chazoka of a beula. It's not such a terrible thing, California.
Yes, something
the woman that's talked about in the beginning of the part that she
that's a Goyishka woman who was taken captive with us.
So we don't, we won't deal
no,
with
no, no, no. We are dealing here. We are dealing here with three types of Jewish women, and they're different statuses.
Okay.
Different statuses of Jewish women. All right. Now. Yes, David.
How's the shifra? I thought the shifra measured to 16.
Well, I'll explain that to you. Now, the first thing we take, it's a gyuris vashvuyoi vashifcha. The reason that it is put in this particular order, gyuris shvuyo and shifcha, because any competent rabbi will tell you.
Excuse me, you need a full milk out.
You need a
what? Well, I just.
Oh no. The reason it is put in this order is it's put in the order of prevalence. I've had a case of a Juris, I've had a case of Shvuyo, I've never had a case of a Shivcho. But I've had a case of Juris and of Shvuyo. But in my whole life, I've only had one real case of Shvuyo. I'm not speaking about the war.
Uh-huh.
I'm speaking about it was after the war, it was long after the war already. Yes, kidnapped her. Yes, yes, that's right, yes.
So Shvuya is not necessarily a prisoner of
war. No,
no,
not
any forced...
Yes, this was captured. A woman and her child was kidnapped, and they had to get a very... it was a very heavy ransom that the father had to pay. Very heavy ransom. Very heavy ransom. And when I sympathize with the father that, you know, his wife and his son has been captured, he didn't make too much of the wife being captured. It was the son. It was the son that was captured. It was a... But anyway, the ransom, he got both. He got the... for paying the ransom, afterwards he got the ransom back because they found the people that found the money. So he got the ransom back, but this is the case that happened with me. So, Gyuris, which is more prevalent? Gyuris is most prevalent. Shvuyo is more prevalent. Shivcho is least prevalent. Or start the other way, Shivcho is least prevalent, Shvuyo is more prevalent, Gyuris is most prevalent. That's life. That's the way we deal with it. So that's the way it puts it in order. You're dealing with those things that come up more often. Yes, George?
Were women prisoners of the Germans generally considered Shvuyo or not?
Yes, of course. Oh, yes. Oh, very much so. And with very good reason.
Very good reason.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. That is, it doesn't mean to say, that she is a Be'ula. See, it doesn't mean to say that she is a Be'ula. But ultimately, the we work technically. We work as far as the din is concerned. I mean, you're working with law, you see. As far as the din is concerned, we work with her on the assumption that he's a Be'ula. Yes.
Aren't we actually saying that we're not even saying that she is a Be'ula? We're just saying that any man who marries her has no right to expect private.
That she's got a cheskes Be'ula, she hasn't got a cheskes Be'ula. That's all. A girl can have a cheskes Be'ula, and it turns out that she's not a Be'ula. I believe these things do happen. Yeah, and elsewhere. It can happen. But she's got a cheskes Be'ula. If I'm putting into the ksuba, I give her a cheskes, she's got a cheskes Be'ula, I put in 200. Can be that she's not a Be'ula. Well, we have to sort this out afterwards. If she's a Shvuyo or Gyuris, I put in a kesuba of mono, of 100. It can be that she's a basula. Kesuba is mono. Now, we say, now we come to the verbs. She nifdu, And Professor Vyata said it shouldn't be, the first verb shouldn't be sheniftu, which means who was redeemed, and who was redeemed goes on the second one, on shvuyo.
Right.
It should have said vishnizgayru. Mm-hmm. Now, when it comes to the verbs to doing things, we do them in order of importance. The most important is pidyon shvuyo.
Yeah.
First thing, most important is for pidyon shvuyim you do anything.
Right.
You sell a sefer Torah in order for pidyon shvuyim. Very important thing, a pidyon shvuyim. And accepting, well, you have the classical case in Rutenberg, where the Maharam Rutenberg, this must have been 12th century, around about 1200, late 12th century, Mayor Rutenberg, he was taken as a shavui by the Duke of the Duchy, so that to get money from the Jews to pay his gambling debts. And of course it was there in a matter of hours, all the money was there, and the Maram came out of captivity, and he said, this is going to happen again. I've got two things to tell you. One is a public matter, one is a private matter. The public matter I would tell you, the private matter I would tell to the person whom it concerns. The public matter, he said, should I be captured again, then please don't under any circumstances repeat me. Because my psychiatrist has told me that drugs, you can still perhaps cure a person, but gambling is the most difficult thing to cure. Mm-hmm. Isn't that sad? You ever had that experience? A gambler.
Not personally.
A gambler is the most difficult thing. If he's been once in for gambling, he'll be in again for gambling. And he'll do it again. It didn't take very long. And he was in prison again. And he was in prison 12 years or 14 years. I'm not sure. I think it was 14 years. And he died in prison. But he had something private to say also. And that was, he called his Talmid the Rosh, and he said to the Rosh, if I get caught and if I'm put into prison, run away immediately. And the Rosh ran to Spain. And he ran to Barcelona, and he met the Rajpo in Barcelona. And the Brajpo had one look at him and he said, come in. And he sat him down and he had another look at him and he started speaking and learning to him. And he saw who the Rosh was. And he immediately communicated with Toledo, who needed a spiritual leader. And he said to them, this is your man. And if the Brajpo says, this is your man, there's no question. He sent him to Toledo, and the Rosh was the... with his nine sons, and each son was a godel in his own right. So the Rosh became the Rov of Toledo, and the Rosh was an Ashkenazi, this is the thing.
Yes.
And in Toledo there was Fardi, he was an Ashkenazi. And there's evidence that he had Talmidim coming from Russia in those days, coming from Russia to Spain in those days, across the Pyrenees, was like today traveling to the moon. Well, you know what a journey it was. But as the Gemara says, Lo bashomayimi, the Torah is not in the heavens, but, says the Gemara, and if it were in the heavens, then you would have to find ladders and go up and get it. Well, that's your responsibility. So they came to the Rosh, they came all that way to study with the Rosh in Toledo. And that was the great thing that he did. The second great thing is his son, the Rabbeinu Yaakov, was the one who wrote the Turim, the Arba Turim.
Which Bale was Turim.
The Bale Turim. He was the Bale Turim. He was the he laid the foundations for the Shulchan Aruch, for Rabbi Yosef Karo Shulchan Aruch. And he wrote, he divided it into Or HaChaim, Yerideya, Choshen Mishpat, Eben Ezer, the four parts of the Shulchan Aruch. And it's a very great work, this. But the wonderful thing about the work is that he joins together the Sephardim and the Ashkenazim, and you've got them on the same page. Mm-hmm. And he says, the Rif says, and the Rambam says, and then he says, Adoni Avi Mori, my master, my father, my teacher. Never says my father. He never says my teacher. He never says my father, my teacher. He says my master, my father, my teacher. Gives him three titles. Said that and that. And he takes them together and he comes to his decisions. Coming together of Sephardim, of Ashkenazim. And then after that you had, on the one hand you had the work of Rabbi Yosef Karo, which he completed in Spat, and on the other hand you had the work of Rabbi Isenlich, which he completed in Krakow, that was at the beginning of the second half of the 16th century, and then you've got the whole Shulchan Aruch there. But this is what happened, that Pidyon Shvuyim, that's never stop about Pidyon Shvuyim, you've got to that is something that has to be done immediately. Something that has to be done immediately. Yes?
How could Moram Gottenberg say not to redeem him?
Because he
survived redeeming him.
He knew what it meant. Mm-hmm. He knew that it would just ruin the whole community. If they were to redeem him, they would all say he knew that they'd give their last pennies. There was never any question about it. Mm-hmm. They would sell their Sifrei Torah. When would they sell the Sifrei Torah? After they sell their, first they'd sell their property. And when they sell their property, they'd sell their furniture, they'd sell their silver. And then they'd sell the Sefer Torah, and it would never end. And then they'd sell their sporting. So,
I understand, but aren't they chayav to redeem him nonetheless, though?
I beg your pardon?
Aren't they chayav to redeem him nonetheless?
No, he made it out of Ruach Shor that this was an exceptional circumstance. And he said, you don't redeem me in order that they can live. Yes.
Rabbi, I have one question.
Yes.
Okay.
The question about Pidyon Shvuyim that came to my mind now, because it was an actual case a few years ago. You said Pidyon Shvuyim with money, nothing should stop you.
Nothing.
But then we had a case of Pidyon Shvuyim in Israel. The government did something which made a great public debate. A man, through his own fault, had fallen into the hands of the terrorists in Lebanon.
Yes.
Eventually, for his pidyon,
yes,
70 terrorist murderers had to be exchanged for him out of jails. Now, here you're talking about something that's pikuach nefesh Israel, and when the government justified it, they came in with the kol hamatzil nefesh achat Israel. But I'm obviously no one can make this decision. But again, is the halacha clear that you should go beyond money,
yeah,
to take a... Yeah. In other words, were they right?
Yes. You see, it's not... Let us say, if it meant that you've got to give a life for that, that's certainly not
but,
a
but
Jewish
life. But the 70
life.
Murderers are potentially a life.
Potentially. But yeah, you've got... It's not potential, you see.
Mm-hmm.
It's not potential. Yeah, it's... You're dealing with it. You're dealing... Yeah, you've got to face. This is always the question. Will you deal with something which is, and which something which can be? Mm-hmm. You deal with what is, not mm-hmm. with what can be.
Mm-hmm.
That is, you have to always work with that. Always with that is a principle in halacha. Mm-hmm. You work with what is, not with what can be. Yeah. Oh, look here. The Rambam discusses la halacha and he passes la halacha when they come and they say, "Give us one Jew, we'll kill the lot of you." Dinis, you killed a lot of us.
Uh-huh.
Lot of us, come on, kill the lot of us. Uh-huh. We won't give a Jew away. That's what it is. Uh-huh. Paskin like that, la locho.
Uh-huh. Yes, I remember that the Rabbi Gorham discussed that on the radio and television.
It's a when you deal with halacha, mm-hmm. you're dealing with Jewish halacha, it's, you know, it's, it shakes one. It shakes one, but that belongs to the end of the shiur, more okay. we'll be getting on to those subjects.
Why didn't the Maharam, if he knew he was going to be
the Maharam, yes?
The Maharam. Why didn't he run away?
Oh! Why don't they let the Syrian Jews out of Syria? You know why? Won't let one Jew out of Syria. You know why? They've got 4,500 Jews there in Syria. They keep them there. Anything, if they want a lever against Israel, they've got 4,500 Jews. They know what the Jews will do for one another. Got 4,500 Jews.
Mm-hmm.
Won't let them out. I had to do something once about trying to get the how they won't let him out. That they keep you there. But you think they would have let them Maram out? He was what he was worth. They would never let him out. They watched him very carefully. Oh, yes. Right. Can we go on, gentlemen? David? You know, mustn't be so upset about it. It happened a long time ago. It's true. It can always happen. They weren't worried about catching me. They'd take Mr. Bronson. I'm not worth that to them. Values have changed, you see. Values have changed. You and I are small fry today. So we don't have to... They won't catch us. It's a different world, right? So we can be quieter. And now we say... There is a person, Mr. Bronfman, isn't there?
Yes. Oh, yes. The big Bronfman.
Hagiris vashmuyo vashivcho. Please, I've got nothing against him, Chas v'sholem, that anything should happen to him. I'm just taking Chas v'sholem. I'm just taking him as an example. I mean, it's changed. The world has changed. Jewish leadership has gone from the Torah, it's gone to the layman. It's not there. But that's exactly what the Gemara says. The Gemara says in the Ikvah Sodereshicho that leadership will go over to Kfirus. That Jewish leadership will be people will kofrim. What do you call kofrim? Apikursim, kofrim, what do you call them? What do you call them in English?
No. That's too strong.
No, disbelievers are being part. Disbelievers. They won't believe. They won't believe in Hashem. They won't believe in Mashiach. They won't believe in the Torah. They won't believe in mitzvahs. They won't believe in Shabbos. They won't believe in Yom Tov. Won't keep Shabbos. Won't keep Yom Tov. Won't put on tefillin. Don't believe in it. The Gemara says that. In the Ikvah of the Mashiach, that's the time we are living in. That the whole leadership will go over to Kofrim. Whether it's the leadership, whatever leadership it is, in for Jews, it will not be in the hands of terrorist Jews. The last leader who still had power, who were the last ones that had power? Now you've got to Chaim Ozer had tremendous power. Chaim Ozer died in 1940. Tremendous power. The Korban Rov were out at the same time. Konovich Rov been afterwards with you and they didn't. Then you had the Chazon Ish, you had Velvel Briska still had power, you had Rav Herzog still had power, but that was the end. Ripon? Who?
Rabbi Gordon?
Reb Aaron Kotler had power. Reb Aaron Kotler had power. Reb Moshe Feinstein's got a certain amount of power. The Hasidic Rebbe,
Lubavitcher
Rebbe, Schlesen, he's got power.
Empire.
But this is the end of it. This is the end of it. All these are from the between the walls still. This is still from between the walls. But after it's gone.
I've got an article there. In fact, I've got the article with me. I didn't bring it today. That Rabbi Soloveitchik, Rabbi J.B. Soloveitchik from Boston, was asked by an interview. It wasn't a good, very interview. It wasn't a very good interview. But this is one of the points that was made. They said, we hear that you've been offered the position of Chief Rabbi of Israel several times. Why don't you take it? Why didn't you take it? And he said, because it meant I've got to be a government official, and I've got to subscribe to government policy, and it's dictated to me, I've got to carry it out. Said that I'm not prepared to do. So he didn't do it, fine. Because that is some, but we've got to just realize that that is the situation today. I'm not worried about it. You know the famous story that Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Gamliel, I think it was, were going in the Churvas Yerushalayim. And the fox came out from the, and Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer broke down and wept, and they said, Yar, it's being Mekuyim. What it says that the foxes will come out of where the Kohen HaGadol used to be in Yom Kippur, their foxes will make their lairs. And Rabbi Akiva laughed and I said, what are you laughing at, the tragedy? He said, if this came about, if this proved, this prophecy has been realized, then the prophecies that it will all be rebuilt must also be realized. Of course I'm laughing. So we see these things happening. We've got to see the brighter side of it is that this is the Ikkas of the Mashiach, and this is what, but what will happen afterwards, that's also going to come about. I'm only too happy that it is like that. If it wasn't like this, then we wouldn't have anything. We'd have no hope at all. But this is what it says. It says a lot more. I haven't told you everything it says, because I don't think you'll be able to take everything it says. All these things, but there's a lot more what it says, but all these things are coming to pass. Most of them are here already. Emes Nederis, the different short of Emes, there won't be any more truth, or truth will be divided into factions, into parties, into sects. Each one will claim the truth. Narcis, Adorim, Adorim, Adorim. Gemara speaks about all these things. That it's kind of, when you know these Gemaras and they come past, don't forget that when I saw this Gemara, these Gemaras for the first time, it was the most you didn't think it could possibly happen, these things. And how long does it take? And it's here. How long does it take? And it's here. Violence throughout the world. Well, it's all here. Right. Hagiris Vashnevet, please. Let's go. Hagiris Vashvuyo Vashivcho. And so we've got the Giris and the Shvuyo and the Shivcho. And they were redeemed. That's the first thing that comes. And they were converted. And they were given their freedom. And to give a Eved Knani or a Shivcho Knani the freedom is not permitted, strictly speaking, unless it's for your own purpose. Because it says La Olam Yavodu Bohem, there's a deed, there's an assay in the Torah that one works with these people forever. The Knani one works with forever. They've got a deed that you work with them, and this goes back to Cham. The only time that a Eved Knani goes out free is either if his tooth is knocked out or if his eye is blinded. Why those two? Why those two? Why not
his ear? Tachashen would be.
Why not his ear if he's made deaf? According to the Gemara, deafness is far more seriousness than blind. Far more serious than blindness, according to the Gemara. Far more serious. So why does he go out with Shane and Ayin? And does, why doesn't he go out if his leg is cut off, if his hand is cut off? Very simple. It's not mine. I wish it were mine. If it were mine, I'd consider myself very clever. But the Daza Kenimibale Tosfos, because why did Knaan become an Eved? Cham and Knaan both saw the nakedness of their father and their grandfather, so they saw it with their eyes. So what is, instead of going and covering up the nakedness of their father and keeping it quiet for the rest of their lives and never ever mentioning it to themselves or amongst themselves, certainly never to anybody else, they didn't cover up the nakedness of their father and grandfather. They ran and they told it to Shem and Yofes, come and enjoy the joke with us. And then Shem and Yofes put the blanket on around their shoulders and walked backwards to their father and covered him up with all the cover that was due to him. And with what did they do? They saw with their eye and they spoke about it. And the teeth are one of the five
organ elements.
Ways of speech. One uses one's lips, one uses one's teeth, one uses one's tongue, one uses one's palate, one uses one's throat. There are five parts of the face that one uses. The teeth are very important. There are five letters from teeth alone. Dalet, Tes, Lamet, Nun, Tov. Five letters that are used. These are very important letters. So, if his eye gets knocked out or his teeth gets a tooth gets knocked out, he's paid for it. So he goes out free. It's the only time that he goes out free. That's the Dazakating the Bale Tosfos. Fine. Yes?
Does La'olam here mean to the Yovel?
No. La'olam means always. La'olam poem ta'avodu. You shall work with them forever.
Ebed avadim yevamol.
Yes, that's right. In the vehicle, what is it in? In the vehicle.
And if he loses his eye, it's too natural.
If it's knocked out. Yes. So, and if any of these, now, if a non-Jewish girl is converted, the gyur takes place when she's less than 3 years old. That means that the basulim return. If the basulim return, she gets a kasuba of 200. The same as shvuyo, she is captured when she is less than 3 years old, and she's returned when she's 3 years old. So therefore she gets a cheskas basula, because the basulim return. And the same applies to a shivcho, who has been given her freedom when she was less than 3 years old, so she now comes into a cheskas basulo, and all these three women, when they get married, have a kesuba of 200. Ve'yesh lohen tainas basulim, and they've got a tainas basulim. And if the husband finds that they are not basulos, then he's got a reason for complaint. And the question is that he gives only 100 then, that the basula is reduced to 100, that's no question. But it's possible that he doesn't give any basula at all. Lekachtos, and that he gives no basula at all. Yes, please.
There's a Canaanite woman whose girl is free. Does she have to convert?
Yes, I'm very glad you asked that. The deen is that as soon as a Canaanite slave, as soon as a Canaanite or a Knani becomes an Eved Knani or a Shifra Knani, he or she becomes Jewish to the extent that they have to keep all the loving, all the negative mitzvahs in the Torah, and they've got to keep those positive pieces in the Torah that are not dependent upon time. Those that are dependent upon time, they don't have to keep. For example, an Eved hasn't got to put on tefillin, but he's got to keep Shabbos, and he's got to make kiddush, and all that, that he's got to do. He's got to keep kashrus, and all that. But the point is, first of all, it's only when the Beis HaMikdash was in existence. Secondly, and this is a very important point, if he doesn't want it, then nothing happens. For example, if he says, I'd rather not have this business, you'd rather not have it, because it's right, you don't have it. It's only if he wants it, then. But then as soon as he's given his freedom, or she's given his freedom, they become full Jews or Jewesses, whatever the case is. Got the idea?
Mm-hmm. The Knani, was that also later extended to include all the other people, like the Greeks and the Persians, the people who flooded Eretz Yisrael during the time of the Talmud?
Yes,
I'm thinking of Rabban Gamliel's Eved Tabi.
Tabi
was patur from Lulav, we learned this month, right?
Yes, but I don't know if he was any different from an Eved Knani. So he regarded him as an Eved Knani. He gave him a lot of COVID and all that, but he was an Eved Knani.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, says the Gemara, and now we come on, there's no Rashi on that, and now we come on to the Gemara. Omar Rav Huno, said Rav Huno, Geir Kotten, Madbilin Oso, Aldas Bez.
Let's answer the one question.
That a Geir Kotten, the Tevila takes place, Aldas Bez. That means that when the cotton comes, should there be a cotton, and how does a cotton come to be in the Beis Din? We don't go around catching children and putting them into water. We don't do that sort of thing. How does it come? It is a case where he hasn't got a father. I'm giving you the way Rashi explains it, and we'll find out afterwards why Rashi explains it like that, where the Kotan hasn't got the father, and his mother brings him for gil, brings him for conversion. That means that the mother is going to be converted, and she brings him also to be converted. So there we say that the conversion takes place aldas Beis Din. That is the way Rashi learns it. Have you got the idea? Why Rashi says, if the mother brings him and he has no father, that I've got to discuss with you, but I don't think we know sufficiently about it in order to appreciate why Rashi goes to all that length to explain it in that way. So, what we've got to understand at the very outset is another thing, and I'm going to clear that immediately. For a geir, what is necessary is actually three things. The first thing that is necessary is milo. We're speaking about a male, is milo. You know what that is. The second thing that is necessary is tvilo.
Mm-hmm.
And the third thing that is necessary is kabbalas ol mitzvos, that he undertakes to keep the mitzvos of the Torah. If he doesn't undertake to keep the mitzvahs of the Torah, he can't be a geir. Those are the three requirements of a geir. So, we would have expected, it should have said, geir koten, mali no so al das beisti. Before there's tvilo, there's got to be milo. So we would have thought that it would say, geir koten, we are mali mal das beisti. Mali ni doesn't say. Or at least it should have said geir koten malin umabilin oso al das beis din. That he doesn't say. So it would appear from this Gemara that there is a difference between Tvilo and Milo. Because now he's a cop. Let us say he's 5 years old now. He's a cop. When will he have Das? Let us assume when he's 13 years of age, he's got Das. At 13 years of age, when he's got Das, we say, you've got to have Milo. Says, well, I was marked. But you were marked when you didn't have Das. He says, but now I've got Das. I've got the Milo and I've got Das. Tvilo. We'll say, assuming it was without a baby. Tvilo. You had Tvilo when you were 5 years old. He said, but now, you didn't have Das when you were 5 years old. He says, but now I've got Das. So what is our reply to him? Now you've got Das, but now you haven't got the Tvilo. There's no immersion now. You haven't got Tvilo. Milo you've got. So if you've got Das Milo, you've got. So you've got Das for the Milo. But on Tvilo you haven't got Das.
Is that because Tvilo can be repeated and Milo can't?
Right. Well, that's what it amounts to. That's what, but it is, but he's got Milo. And now he's got Das. The Das as a grown up can be effective for the Milo. But it can't be effective for the Tvilo.
This is an undergo Tvilo again.
So that gets us off the hook there, as they say here. Omar Ravuna gave cotton, my billionaire soul does basically. Says Ravuna, a gay of cotton, one is still will him on das basically. Why does the Gemara bring it here? Because the Gemara says a juris she nizgairo. How does she become to be a Juris? We've got a way out how she becomes to be a Juris. And the Shifcho the same thing. We've got a way out. But anyway, the subject comes up. So Rav Huna says, Geir Kotten Ma Bili Neso Adas Besti. Just one moment. Okay. Just let us finish this, because I think that the Gemara will probably precipitate your question. Asks the Gemara, Maiko Mashmala, what does Rav Huna let us know? Dis chusu lo bezochin lo odom shelo befonov. That it's a chus for the cotton, and we are zoche for the cotton shelo befonov. Because the law is that I can do something which is to the total advantage of a person without that person being aware of it, and if I do it for him, then it is ascribed, my action that I do is ascribed to him. For example, I can pick up a metzio, I can pick up a find in the street, this watch, I go in the watch, I've got a very beautiful watch, but Stroll hasn't got a beautiful watch and he's just become engaged, and I'm sorry for him. I think, what a wonderful thing, I've pick up the watch for Stroll. As soon as I pick it up, it becomes Stroll's. It's not mine. It's Stroll's. Because Zochin the Odom shall overfall. I can be Mazake, sure, I can pick it up for Stroll, although not only hasn't he asked me to do it, he knows nothing about it at all. But I can do it for him. That is a rule. I can go into his bank and I can deposit $100 to his name and to his banking account. I can do it. Withdraw a card. But do it, that I can credit it, I can. And that is the principle of Zochin the Odom Shelo Bifon. Says the Gemara, this Chusule, what does it teach us? That it is the Chus the Zochin the Odom Shelo Bifon of Isitanino. This we have learned. We've learned it as a rule many times in the Gemara. Zochin the Orem Shaleba Fonov, and Chovin the Orem Shaleba Fonov. One can do something which is at an advantage to a person when he's not permitted to do that which is to a disadvantage to a person. Answers the Gemara. I tell you, what is the Chidush? What the Gemara asks is, what is the Chidush of Rav Huna? answers the Gemara, this is the Chiddush. Mahu de Seimo, I might have said. Oved kechovim behev keiro nichole. What was this Geir cotton before he becomes a Jew? What is he?
Oved
kechovim. And the main difference between a Jew and a Gentile is, the main difference, and we are speaking about a Torah Jew, the main difference between a Torah Jew and a Gentile is that a Torah Jew is restricted and he wants to be restricted and he loves to be restricted and he thrives under restrictions. And a Goy says, I want to be free. I want to be free. I must be free. No restrictions. I don't want any inhibitions. I don't want any conflict. I must be free. Big difference. That is what you call hefkeiros. No restrictions. I can do what I like to do, when I like to do it, as I like to do it. I decide what is good for me. My criterion is what is pleasurable, and nobody can tell me anything. That's it, Caius. I beg your pardon?
You're describing our world, aren't you?
That's right. And I know what's at the back of your mind. How many Jews live like that? That's the tragedy of it. That's the tragedy of it.
They're the leaders.
It's a tragedy
of the hedonistic value system, which we see collapsing all around us.
Of course. But that's a Jew is punfarkert. A Jew doesn't want that. But that's what we call hefkeiros. So the Gemara says, avodim behefkeiro nichale. There's no question that slaves thrive on that hefkeiros. That is their life. No restrictions.
Is that in the Pirkei Avot we have marbesh pachot, marbezima?
No, that's right. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. That's right for it. Mm-hmm. Says the Gemara, I might have thought mahu the same ovid kechovim behefkeiro nichale, that any goy, he wants hefkeiros. Absolute freedom to do as he pleases, when he pleases, how he pleases, where he pleases. Don't come along, because this we have already established, the Eved Vadi Vefkeiro Nichole. That an Eved, there's no question that he wants that life of looseness. Komash Malon, so the Chidush of Rav Huna is. The honey mili de godol de toam tam di suro. When do we say that behef keiro nichole? And when he's already tasted the life of free, of what he calls freedom, avol cotton, but a goy who is a cotton, schusule, to him it's a schus. So if he is a grown up goy, he's a goy of 17 years of age. And I've got a wonderful idea. I'm going to make him a Jew. But he doesn't know about it. What difference does it make? Zochim Odom Shelo before not. That I'm not allowed to do. That I'm not allowed to do. Why not? He doesn't regard it as a schus. So what are you doing for me? What are you doing? Is this, I can't go into a restaurant and have a meal. I've got to keep Shabbos. I can't live with a girl unless I marry her. What do you want from me? This is what you're doing to me. You're robbing me of my freedom. No schus. So what do we do to him? So, right, right. Can't do it. But a cotton that has, so even with a goy, in truth, it is a schus for him. But he doesn't regard it as a schus. If he doesn't regard it as a schus, you can't say, Zochin Odom Shelo B'Fonos. right? So, but he lets us know, so Ravuna lets us know, that is with a godel, but with a cotton that hasn't tasted, for him it is a skus. That is the shkirish of Ravuna. Mark.
Can we learn from this? Maybe I'm trying to draw too much of an implication, but can we say from this that a Jew who is a cotton became a goy who is a cotton, provided they're both raised the total life, they would both have the same disposition towards likely to have a total life, or still kind of a big difference?
Yes, well, you see, in the scientific world, there's a lot going on about this. Is it environment? Is the environmental factor the more important one? Is it the hereditary factor that is more important one? As far as a Jew is concerned, there is an hereditary factor. From Zera, from Zera of Rome, we know that they are Baishonim, we know that they are Rahmonim, we know that they are Gomei Chasodim. It's in it. There is a hereditary factor here. No question about it. It's not the same thing. But what we do say is that if a Goy becomes a Jew, and he's nichnas tachas kanfei hashchino, what we do say is that he can acquire all that. That he can acquire. Got the idea, yes?
Are you saying that a goy who is a ger tzedek,
yes,
who lives his life as a Jew,
yes,
who is sincere, can change his genes so that he can change, pass down genes that would be very similar to a
It would potential. Seem so. It would seem so. It would seem so that he, we've had some outstanding uncles are gay. The heights that he went to, uncles are gay. He'll probably be mentioned. He'll probably be mentioned later on in the shiur tonight.
Uh-huh. Right.
It would seem so. That is the position. Yes, sir, Daniel.
If it was a chutz for a katan goy, why can't we just grab everyone we see, you know, who's that age, you know, off the street, and make him a gerer?
If it's a chutz for you, that I pick up something and I give it to you, it's a chutz for you, you get it. I don't have to walk on the broad on the boardwalk looking there for time to find something for Daniel Levine. I don't have to do that. There's no reason for me to have to do that. I don't have to do it. I mean, he's born a goy. There's no obligation on his part. I haven't got to be mazake everybody. No obligation on my part. I've got obligations. I've got an obligation to teach you Torah. But my obligation is not to go in the boardwalk and find Goyishka children. That's not for the Jew. I've got an obligation. I've got to do that. Any other questions?
Just one thing yes? that came to my mind. We were discussing that Rav Huna didn't mention Mira, and Rabbi said, Rashi
didn't mention
Mira. He didn't mention circumcision.
Yes, yes.
And it came to me that maybe the reason that he didn't feel it necessary to mention that even though he's talking about ger in the masculine and as a generic, general term,
yes.
The subject is really female. The gerut is really the subject, and therefore only the tevira is relevant because there is no relevance to the
gerut. No, Rav speaks about ger cotton. And where he speaks, it's only about a gay. This is just brought
up. The Mishnah speaks about
the Mishnah, the Gemara brings Rav Huna because of the Mishnah. But Rav Huna is speaking about Gairim. He's speaking about Gairim, you see. Right. All right. Now, I would like to go a little bit further in the Gemara because it will help us understand. It will help us understand it so that we can go a little bit more deeply into it. Says the Gemara, have you all got this clear? Phil, have you got this clear? Do you say, yeah, just because you want me to be pleased? Or, are we pardoned?
Yeah, it's okay.
But it's not okay. But see, you haven't got it, it's not okay.
Is there anything specific that you don't understand?
No, nothing
specific. Or I can, we'll get it, we'll go over it again just now to go a little bit more deeply into it, and then you'll get it. Right. Says, the Gemara now continues, and the Gemara says, lay more. Messiah lay. Let us say that our Mishnah is a siyua, is a support to Rav Huna. Because it says in our Mishnah, Hagiris Vashvuya Vashiko Shedituvishin is Gaira Vishn Shtachr Rupa Kusus Mibozas Sholim Sholim Vyam Echod. My love, the Adbelinu Adas Beistim. You've got to say that that the Giris needs Tvilo, the Shifo needs Tvilo, and they were less than 3 years old. You've got to say that it was Aldas Bezdin. Says the Gemara, a remarkable answer, says the Gemara, no. Says the Gemara, no. Hocha b'mayas kinon. Our Mishnah is speaking v'geir shemiz gairu bono v'venos of imo. It's speaking where a geir comes, the father comes, and the mother, and the boys and the girls and the sons and daughters of the geir are all being converted together. In that case, you don't need Das Beis Din. So Rav Huna is speaking in a case where you do need Das Beis Din. That's why Rashi says that it's speaking in a case where the father isn't amongst them. The nichale, why don't they need Das Beis Din then? The nichale hu b'mayde ovid avuam. Because the children, the ktani, the little children, if their parents do it, then they themselves are satisfied that it is right. That is all, as far as we will go with this piece of Gemara now. Now I want to go over it and we'll go into it a little bit more deeply.
What is the
Rosh Tevos where?
Chochem
b'mayas kino. Hocho, yeah. Hocho, not hochi, but hocho. Yeah, b'mayas kino, what are we speaking about? But in, that's in our Mishnah, what are we speaking about? Begation is Gai Rubonov of Nosov Imo. The Nichel Hubermaida of Idavuan, where the children, it pleases them what the parents do. So therefore, you don't need the Das Beis Din. But Rav Huna is speaking about a Gai Cotton where he comes without his father, and there you need Das Beis Din. Is that all right? Now, let us go over this little piece of Gemara, and we'll try and understand. We've got already something to get our teeth into. Phil, are you ready?
Ready.
Omar Rav Huna, back again to the Gemara. Omar Rav Huna said, Rav Huna, Geir Cotton Madbilino Sehualdas Beisdin. A Geir Cotton, one brings him, and one is tovel him, with three members of the Beis Din, that is a Beis Din of three stands there, and he's Tovel Aldas Beis Din. And we have got to understand what it means that he's Tovel Aldas Beis Din. Just look at the Rashi, where it says Gemara, Aldas Beis Din, that is in cursive brackets, which means that we don't say them, but on the right, you've got square brackets, small on the right of that, in the right of the word Gemara, and it says, Sorich Lieyos Geir Cotton. So the Divrei HaMaskil, the opening words are, it goes on what it says here, Geir Cotton. Says Rashi, Im Ein Lo Of, if he has no father, the Imo Heviosoli is Geir. And his brother, mother, brings him in order for him to become a Jew. Why does Rashi say so? Because if he has a father, the Gemara said, if his father brings him, is nichalehu b'mayda ovidavur. They are pleased with what their father does. So if they are pleased with what their father does, you don't need a Das Beis Din. So it means that the father is not, he's got no father. it's the mother that wants to be converted, and therefore you've got to have our das based. And here we immediately run into a difficulty. What is the difficulty, Saul?
I'm not sure if I'm going to get this difficulty, but what if the child is not Nicholai? See, my problem is we're talking about a cotton, which means presumably a
baby. Let us work on 5 years of age. It's good to have a picture, you see.
Okay.
Let's work on 5 years of age, then you don't run into complications.
Mm-hmm.
You were speaking with the cotton isn't satisfied, but we come, the Gemara deals with it afterwards. The Gemara deals with it. But let us deal with a cotton of 5 years of age and we don't run into difficulties.
Mm-hmm.
But we run into another difficulty here. Yes.
I took a look through the Tosis.
Yes.
All right.
You see, I like you to look at the Tosis. But I don't like you to look at the Tosfos before you understand the Gemara and the Rashi first. You follow? But by all means, yes.
If we're asking for difficulties, it seems like Tosfos Kasha is very sure.
What is that?
Because how can a cotton be a shliach in order to accept it?
Who says that they're shlichas here?
Then how can it be? We say al das beis din.
Yes.
Why that the beis din goes and makes the cotton the ger?
Yes, but
so the cotton has to accept it.
Yes.
Which means that Beis is actually a shliach for the cotton.
You're taking it from Tosfos, you see. For the time being, I don't know Tosfos. So I'm working the Gemara with the Gemara and Rashi to try and understand the Gemara and Rashi. And we'll get it right, you see. So from the Gemara and Rashi, we've got a difficulty. The difficulty is as follows. The Gemara says, Rav Huna says, Geir Kotten, Mabirin Esel Das Besti. So it means that Kotten, you want to be Jewish? Since yes. Go into the mikveh. Finish. Yes. No. You've got to have a Das here. What the Das means, we still don't know. But let us assume something, and we can't be very far wrong. Let us assume it means this. I can do a movement, I can do something, and all I am doing is I'm going through the motions. I once knew a monkey. And this monkey had a table, and on the table was a pair of glasses. And if you gave him a newspaper, the monkey took the newspaper, ran to the table, put on the glasses, and put them in, and looked at the newspaper. I knew a monkey like that. Does it mean he's reading the newspaper? I mean, he's not reading it. The mice are going for Almo.
Literally.
you think there are people that do the same what? Thing? I mean, pardon? What's that?
But the way that we put it, mice are going for Almo. So
it's a mice are going for Almo. Hello, it comes down there. That's what we call a miser comes for Almo. So he does, but he's doing the right thing. He puts on his glasses, exactly the same as I do. Puts on his glasses. He takes up the newspaper. He opens it. He's doing all the right things.
Especially with newspapers as they are today, maybe it's better that he should read it than you should read it.
He's doing all the right things. So what's wrong? Ain't playing it, there's no das. There's no das. You see, if there's no das, it doesn't mean anything. So, yeah, the cotton is going into the mikveh, but without any das. So, what is it? What is it? He's having a swim. A swim, is that tefillah? That's not tefillah. He goes through the movements, but that isn't tefillah. For tefillah, there's got to be das. Kotlin hasn't got any doubts. Now here is a Ketzos HaChoshen. I want to explain to you this. So interesting Ketzos HaChoshen. Once you understand what Maisa Kof Ba'almo means, then you can understand the Ketzos HaChoshen. Which word? It's an action only of a monkey. Monkey, Kofi the monkey. Maisa Kof Ba'almo, it's the action of a monkey, that's all it really is.
Really?
I beg your pardon? The din is that if a cotton picks up a mitzvah, a fine, that fine doesn't belong to the cotton. Why not? A cotton can't make a kinyan. But he picks it up. The monkey also puts on his glasses. But he holds it in his hand, and the monkey also reads the newspaper. That isn't good enough. The only thing is, the Ketzos HaChoshen is not saying it as I'm saying. He says it with a difference. The Ketzos HaChoshen says, in the Maisa HaPa'ula of the cotton, there's no chesor. There's nothing wanting, there's nothing wrong. There's nothing lacking as far as the deed of the cotton is concerned. The only thing that is lacking is that there's no das. There's no kavon. But he says the action in itself, the action, it's not quite what I say. What I'm saying is slightly different. But let us first, for what I'm saying, the basis is the Ketzos. So let us work on the Ketzos HaChoshen. We've got a very great authority there. Can't go wrong with the Ketzos HaChoshen. There are those who disagree with him. Can't go wrong with it. So the Ketzos HaChoshen says, the Maisa is a Maisa. He says, the cotton picks up the metziah. The maisa is a maisa, but there is no das. It's a ma'aseh without das. It's a ma'aseh without kavona. So therefore, it is no ma'aseh. Very similar to what I said, but it's not quite the same. Anyway, what I've said certainly helps you to understand the Ketzos HaChoshen. That is one thing. We understand. But there is another thing. If I give a present to a cotton, I give him a present, then the cotton takes the present and it's his. And if anybody comes and snatches it out of the hand of the cotton, it's gazelle. If he picks up a metzia, then and somebody snatches out of his hand, it's not gazela, because it doesn't belong to him. But if I give him a present, then it belongs to him. Furthermore, if he gets a Yerusha, he gets this watch as a Yerusha. His father dies and he gets it as an inheritance. His father dies, he gets it, this is an inheritance. It belongs to him. So we've got to understand the three things. First of all, if it's a question of Yerusha, it's Mamela. It's automatic. It goes over to him automatically. If it's a question of somebody giving him a gift, there is what we call Das Acheres Makne. What does Das Acheres Makne mean? You can certainly not be mistaken for a cotton. So
I'll bring my son next week.
So if I give the cotton this, as soon as he takes it into his hand or he picks it up, it belongs to him. Why? Because it's my da'as that helps it. Now, The way I said it, we are in difficulties. If it is only Maaseh Kuf Ba'almo, what does it help if he's got my das also? What does it help if the monkey that I used to know once upon a time reads the newspaper? What does it happen if I have read the newspaper? What does it ever help him? He still won't know the newspaper. He still doesn't know what it's about. It still remains my sacrifice. Therefore, says the Katsos, that it's, he says, it is, there is no chisoron in the Maisi HaKinyan of the cotton. George, are you with me?
I'm still slashing.
All right. You did not translate. That's no difficulty. There is, he says, there's no chisoron. Chisoron means there is no flaw in the Maisi HaKinyan, in the action of the Kinyan. What is the kinya that Shrol makes? Show them the kinya in Shrol. Shrol picks it up. That's the kinya. He says, in the kinya that the cotton makes, he picks it up. There's no flaw in the kinya. The flaw is that there isn't the da'af that goes with it. He doesn't say that, Katsosa Koshin doesn't say it's a maisa kof ba'almo. So it seems that but he goes out of his way, he says there's no flaw in the actual action, there is no flaw. So what is the only thing is that there's no das. Says the Katsos HaKoshen, where there is a das acheres makne, but where I come and I, it belongs to me and I give it, Shrol is the kone, he acquires it, and I'm the makne, I make him acquire it. You follow the difference? I make him acquire it. So where I make him acquire it, there it strengthens the kinyan. It's ma'alim es hakinyan. It strengthens the kinyan. And now the kinyan, it can, the Kenyan can work.
Well, that's interesting, something that involves the question of learning. I mean, you may have the full intention that you want your monkey to learn what this truth is in the LA Times.
I safeguarded myself on that.
Yeah.
I safeguarded. I said the Katsosa Koshin says there is no chisaron in the Maisei HaKinyan. In the monkey there is. I safeguarded myself on that. In the monkey there is, I said it's not the same. But I gave you the example of the monkey that you should know what the problem is. Now, furthermore, we see afterwards what happens if the child is converted together with the parents. We say, the nichalehu b'maido ovidavur. They are pleased with what their parents do. So there you don't need a das acheres, you don't need any other das.
Well, this is what the father does.
Is this?
Yes, really. Parents.
For example, if you have the Hawiyah?
Parents, Charles. So the parents will take it the father, fine.
No, but I mean, because we have a problem if the mother brings it.
Fine. Yes, that's why I say the parents, with an S, they're both parents. But if you take the father, fire, prepared for that. It's quite right. But Gemara actually works, as you say, works it on the father, yes?
I know it also to the Abuhon. Now, could you visualize the situation? Okay, if you have an orphan who died, then his mother would bring him, then you need the bet din. Yes. Could you have this situation where a mother wants to bring her son to her child to Giyur, and the father objects? Would the bet din then do it over the objection of the father at the request of the mother?
No. I wouldn't do it. Wouldn't do it if there's any objection. Wouldn't do it if there's any objection. Right. Now we come to a very interesting situation. Since we say that if a child, the psychology of a child is, if the father does it, then he does it. There's no difficulty. No difficulty. Then he wants to do it. if a stranger is at my daughter's home, and the stranger says to the child, come with me to shul. What does he know about you? He won't go. The father says, come with me to shul. Oh, he immediately runs, puts his hand into his father's hand, and he's ready to go. A child is satisfied to do that which his father does. He's got so much confidence in his father that whatever the father does, he's got das. So, how much das has he got? He's got a general willingness and acceptance that if his father is doing it, his father is doing it for a good reason, and it would be as it's good for the father, so it's good for him too. It would appear that is all the das that one needs. So one needs really very little das. And the Ketos HaChoshen says that there is no chisoron in the ma'aseh akinyan. George, have you got the words now? Chisoron means flaw. There is no flaw. The ma'aseh akinyan, in the actual kinyan that the kohen does, he picks it up. In that there is the flaw is that there isn't sufficient das. But where there is a das acheres makne, that already helps it. That already helps it. So in the case of where a family becomes converted, you don't need a das basically.
One PLC, 146.
Yes. There you don't need a das besti, because the father is there. But it's nicholei, the child is perfectly happy with what the father does. He does what the father wants him to do. So that is already sufficient. If there's a das acheres makne, that's already sufficient. So what we want, where it's a geir cotton and there is no father, the das of the Beis Din is there, and the das of the Beis Din helps that the action that the Kotan does now becomes a tvilo, and it's not just an immersion, but it's a tvilo. That is the way I would understand this piece of Gemara, only learning it together with the Rashi. Yes.
Jumping ahead, does that type of situation allow the Kotan to still protest when he becomes a gadol?
Every father?
When that Kotan is not a father, does he still protest when he becomes a gadol?
Evidently, yes. 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 Because Rashi says, "Igdilu katanim shenis gairu ba'afilu imavich." If this cotton, when he grows up, even if it was with his father. Yes. So anyway, so we have got some idea, just from the Rashi and from an analysis of the Gemara and the Rashi, we've got some idea of what this das is, and from the idea that a cotton can't be totally a metzio, and that a cotton can be kone a matona, because there's das acheres makne. From this and a little bit here, we get some idea of what it is. Larry, you wanted to ask something. Didn't you have your hand up? And it came right? Fine. Yes, Phil.
I don't know, maybe it's too soon. I mean, this is Nevila. Now, what about Nevila?
In actual fact, when a Geirus is done of a Kotan, it is also done on that understanding. Is that the Nevila also takes place on Das Beis. But here we are in the workshop of the Aloha. We're not doing Aloha, we're not doing Psa. We haven't got the final article yet. and he doesn't speak about Gila. So it would seem that with Milo there is a different deal, you see. See, there's another question with Milo. With us, the point of Milo is that there must be the action of Milo. It's possible that with a goy, it's just that he must be Mao. You follow? It makes a very big difference. And it's not a question of doubts. What is required in me? As far as a Jew is concerned, there's no question that it is the actual Maisei HaMilo which is important. But if it's not a Jew, it's possible that it's not the what is required is that he should be mild. There's a very big difference. Let it say if a child is born a nibble. We take our toughest dumb recipes, take a double glass. What is the position if a goy becomes a Jew and he's mild before he becomes a Jew? He's had a circumcision. So he hasn't gotten all law. Does he need a Tophis Dumplis or doesn't he need a Tophis Dumplis? You follow? Well, we say, we work on it that he does. But we are working on Pesach. And we work with the Spakers, we work here. But it's possible that there is a view in Halacha that one doesn't need it there. He is mild. And when he's grown up, the Milo is there. And there is the kavona for it, because it's not that you've got to mal him, it's not for the action, it's that he should be mal, he should be circumcised. He is circumcised, but where's the kavona? Now he wants it. I want to be a Jew. So now I've got the kavona to be circumcised, and I am circumcised, so it's enough. That is the way it's possible to work it. Do you follow?
Now, let us just go through, yes?
Seems like a pretty obvious question with regards to why do we not say that what his mother does would be nicha for him also?
That is the psychology of a child.
Let's take a particular case, yes. Though. Okay, the father was a terrible father, beat the child when, up until he was 3 years old, then he left the mother.
Yes.
The mother has now raised a child, the child is 6 years old. Would you say that what the mother does is not nicha for the child?
You see, you've got to know. You know. Sometimes I find difficult discussing these things with you because you've got the Bianca Dobit here who is an authority on these subjects. I'm not an authority on it. They speak in California about one parent children. There's no such thing. You've either got two parents or you've got no parents. See, you will even such a thing. You see, a person's either got a parent or he's got a... You can't say that a mother... It doesn't work like that. A child needs a mother and a father. And if a child hasn't got a mother or a father, he's a yosef. He's an orphan. Whether it's a father or whether it's a mother, it's a yosef. But the way it works is, a child needs the mother and the father. And the father cannot replace the mother, and the mother cannot replace the father. If they can replace, the mother and the father can replace one another only for material things. Only for material things. Material things without any soul, without any meaning. Then I can do it. Food, mother can earn a living, give the food. The psychology is that a child has got this tremendous confidence in a father. You know, I remember with each one of my children, we walked to shul.
as soon as it comes to crossing the road, the child puts his hand into my hand. Puts his hand into my hand. I was walking with my grandchild to shul, and I was waiting for it. I walk up, I come out, and he's talking to me, and we are walking, and he's talking to me. Come to the post office. I'm at the post office, I stop, and as I turn and I stand on the curbside, he comes and he puts his hand into my hand. And I relive the whole thing over again. I was waiting for Steve. Is he going to do this? Isn't he? Sure enough. And is he busy talking? This is a tremendous confidence. You know, the Gemara discusses whether b'nei bonim kabonim or not. Are grandchildren the same as children or are they not? And it's an interesting discussion that comes in the Gemara. I say that whether b'nei bonim are kabonim or not, whether grandchildren are like children or not, depends upon the parents. Depends upon the parents. If the parents are children to their parents, then their children are like children to the grandparents. That's the way it works. So the Gemara goes through, and I think the Gemara comes to a conclusion. The Gemara comes to a conclusion that the neighboring kabbalah.
We have even the Van Harasha. Even he made the claim to Yaakov Avinu, Habanim, Yehadim Rihim, right?
Yeah.
So he could even feel that.
Yes.
Kalbachomer for a real Jew.
But that is a question of psychology. Mm-hmm. Now, if you ask, but you know a child that will do everything that his mother does, you can know a Shvuyo that you're absolutely sure nothing happened to her. But she's so the chazoka is that's the way we work. You see, it's the way we work it. It's worth it. You follow?
Yeah.
You've got to, otherwise, if you don't work like that, you can't get through in the Gemara. If you get an exceptional case, then you deal with an exceptional case. You start dealing with it, but you've got to work it like that. Yes. Anything else?
Yeah. There's one more thing on the word das. What do you mean by the word das? I just happened to Shabbos here through my Isadas. I looked up a number of things, and I know it's in the Gemara and Brochus talks about when they talk about what kind of tree was on the what Isadas. Rabbi Huda says it was chito because
chito esrog te'eino. Chito esrog te'eino and
yes. And chito, because why? Because that's a child, when a child that eats chito already is at the point where they have the das, as they call it, the das, to discern what it is that they're eating. Either that they have the das to discern what it is they're eating, or that they're at that stage of development where they can eat chito already, where they can. And that's really what I. Chito is wheat.
Wheat.
And the question is, does das mean a question of discernment? Does it mean a question of making an absolute choice? Does it mean ability to make a decision?
When we deal with these things, you can't take the das and eta das and compare it to the das here, you see.
Right,
the das that you're speaking about here is kavona. The difference from an immersion to a tefillah, that the child should know the difference from an immersion to a tefillah. Mm-hmm. That's the main thing. Should know that there's something doing there. That is what is necessary.
Okay.
And he does know something that's going on, but not sufficient. For that, you've got the das of the Beis Din.
And we're saying this faculty arrives when the child turns 13.
Look here, I don't want to go into that because it's possible that it's there before he's 30. But we don't have to go into that. There's a big shaila. Whether a geyer kohen puts on tefillin when he's 13 or puts on tefillin before? Because 13 doesn't apply to him. So it's possible, al pidin that he's got to put it on. You get a very bright youngster, he's 11 and he's in high school and he's doing extremely well in high school and he learns Gemara already and he knows what he's learning, and he hasn't got the din of 13. He's got another din. His das is another din.
Can we...
What
about minyan? Yes. Can we correct him to a minyan?
Minyan has got to do with being a godel. It's got to do with a little bit other things. It's got to do with the physical things too. Maybe. I don't know. But I'm just saying, these are problems that crop up. You see, we evade certain problems. We evade them. For Tvilo, we evade any problem. We have a Beis Din for Tvilo, we have a Beis Din for Milo. If it's a cotton, we do it our Das Beis Din, we evade the problem with Bar Mitzvah putting on. A few months before his Bar Mitzvah, 3 months before his Bar Mitzvah, say he's got to be taught already how to put on his tefillin. We overcome, we don't go into, we evade these problems. But strictly speaking, in Halacha, there are problems which come up. And especially if you've got several dayas, we take a line and we carry on in that line. Especially where you've got it already trodden. I came when I came to Johannesburg, and I went on to the Beis Din. This was a Beis Din when I went on to the Beis Din. It was a Beis Din that had been in existence for 60 years. It wasn't an ad hoc Beis Din. It was a proper Beis Din that was met every day and sat every day and was concerned with all the problems of the town. It was the Rabbonis, it was the Rabbinet that was concerned with all the problems of the town and met every single day. And it was trodden out. There were predecessors and there were precedents, and I knew that the people who were there were people that you could rely on. They weren't just people who took things lightly. Each one was a person who took everything very seriously. So there were precedents, and we carried on. If they did it like this, we knew there was a reason why they did it like this, and we carried on the same way. We didn't depart from it.
This question of Das, we say Das Bet Din.
Yes.
Right? Now we can read Das as a word to itself, and we can read it as the Smichut of Deah.
Yes.
Okay, so I opened up the Shafri because the first bracha we have here, we're asking, Panenu Mitra Deah Binavastia Bruchata Hashem Konen Hadad. Are we talking here about two different things?
Interesting. You know, I've never thought of it. And both are in absolute. Both are in absolute.
Well, you can have them both. And we have them in this session.
Yes,
we have
right.
them here.
One
is very is okay with its grammar. So now we've got a problem.
Das in la mei leleish binuchane. Ado chaneinu odem das. Choneinu meitecho dei o bina vahaskel. Obviously, it's not the same thing. Obviously, it's not the same thing.
It's not the same thing.
So,
when we say that bedin, do we mean the smach of or do we mean that?
Here, das, when we are speaking here, is it's the kavono of the Beis Din. I mean, I'm by no means finished with this.
All right, just
what it is. There's another very grave problem. I mean, if you want problems, I'll give you
of course we want problems. We're coming here
I'll
for
give
problems.
You a problem. I'll give you a problem that it's really a problem. Okay. What is Zochin the Odom Shalom B'Fan? I go to the street and there's this what lying in the street. I pick up the what was. I am the Mezake. Sroyal is the Zoche. George, you got the difference.
What do the words mean?
Sroyal is the one that acquires it.
I am the mezake, I make him acquire it. You see, I cause him to acquire it. Got it? Philip, have you got it? I'm the zohi. I'm the mezake. So, zohi le odom shelo b'fono. What does zohi le odom mean? I pick it up, I do the kinyan, and Israel is zohi. Here, Marbid in Kortnadar's basic. So, what makes him a Jew? The Tvila. So, who is Mazake? The basic is Mazake, and the Kortn is Zelche. So, everywhere else we've got this Mazake does the Pe'ulo, does the action. And the and Sroyer does the Tvila Zelche, and Sroyer gets it. Here it's the Kortn that's doing it. The Kortn is doing it himself. The word talking about which level full of. If you want problems, I can give you problems.
Could we argue?
That's a problem. That's a problem that you have a sleepless night over. But are we not doing those problems yet?
But the Maestro that you did, the Kortn does.
Yes.
Is nothing until there's dark.
So?
So the dark that the Beis Din has is making the mice a mice. They're actually...